You're listening to the WHO podcast for the week of September the 3rd, 2007. I'm Ian Simpson. In this episode, World Health Report highlights threats to global public health security, including the emerging diseases that spread from animals to humans, and tracking a killer virus in the mines of Uganda. WHO scientists believe they may have new information about Marburg fever. More than ever before, global public health security depends on international cooperation and the willingness of all countries to act together to tackle new and emerging threats. That's the clear message of this year's World Health Report, entitled A Safer Future. The report concludes with a set of six key recommendations to ensure the highest possible level of global public health security. Dr. Margaret Chan is the Director General of WHO. This is what she had to say about the report.
Given today's universal vulnerability to these threats, better security calls for global solidarity, for collective action in the face of a shared threat. This is the most reliable strategy for defense. Changes in the way humanity inhabits the planet have created multiple opportunities for new diseases to emerge, and for older diseases to resurge or become established on new continents. Population growth, rapid urbanization, intensive farming practices, environmental degradation, and the misuse of antibiotics have placed enormous pressure on the microbial world.
Dr. Margaret Chan. The World Health Report draws attention to the large number of diseases that have emerged over the past 40 years, an average of almost one a year. One of them is Marburg hemorrhagic fever. Marburg is a fatal disease. It's caused by a virus from the same family as the one that causes Ebola. The virus can cause high fevers and profuse bleeding. Fortunately, both diseases are rare, but they can cause dramatic outbreaks with high fatality, including among many health workers. There's currently no specific treatment or vaccine. Two cases of Marburg fever have recently been reported in Uganda. One of the people, a minor, died in July. In recent weeks, an international team of scientists has been working to identify the source of the virus, what they call the reservoir, and how it passes from an animal to infect a person. Dr. Melville George is the WHO representative in Uganda. He says the country's experience in the past with controlling Ebola has enabled it to deal effectively with this outbreak.
Following Ebola, Uganda has built a lot of capacity. With this capacity and the experiences learned, I think people realize that having had those lessons, they were going to prove very useful in managing this outbreak. When you look at the area of social mobilization, for example, some of the leaflets, some of the communication material were just modified from Ebola to Marburg.
WHO's Regional Office for Africa has also invested heavily in training health workers to deal with epidemic-prone diseases, says Dr. Nesta Ndayimirije.
We have built a lot of capacity at the district level, in the health facilities, to be able to detect early enough, notify and respond to outbreaks. People are already aware about surveillance, response. They know any outbreak, including Marburg. The only issue is just to give them possibility to confirm.
Because the first cases were quickly identified, it's been possible to go back to look for the source of the virus to learn more about it. Dr. Pierre Formontier of WHO has been studying hemorrhagic fevers for many years and was part of the team in Uganda.
It has been a unique opportunity for us, because the outbreak was contained, to be able to mobilize some international team to come here to look for the natural history of Marburg. So we have, together with the Ministry of Health, mobilized a team from CDC Atlanta, a team from South Africa, and staff from WHO. The work that we are doing in the mine is discovering the natural reservoir of a disease like Marburg. This will help us to help for the prevention messages, but also with scientific studies on the bats themselves, if they are carrier, we will understand how the immune system of the bat is stopping the Marburg virus in the body of the bats, and maybe it will help us to develop new treatment against Marburg.
Together with its partners, WHO has put together an ecological study team. The team made several nighttime visits to the cave and captured more than 1,000 bats from two species. And then, after nearly a week of work, another unique opportunity walked up in the shape of two miners who'd survived the disease. They led the team into a small side cavern in the mine. Pierre Formonty sets the scene.
Suddenly, we enter in a tunnel where the first thing I saw just nearby my face was dead bodies of bats lying on the floor. The two miners that was with me were already in the tunnel with the light showing me the tunnel, which is a 20-30 meters long tunnel. But what I saw, the first thing I saw was cadavers of bats on the floor. And my first thinking was, because I saw five, then five again, then six, then 12, then maybe more, and I realized that this was a different place from the rest of the mine. So it was like you have all the theory, you think about all these things, and suddenly it's just in front of you, and this is it. With the emotion of 20 years of looking for the reservoir of Marburg and Ebola, and finally maybe finding the right place to find it. A bit like for Egyptologists, when you discover the chamber of Tutankhamun, you know that this is it, this is the place that you have been looking for not all your life, but a big part of your life. Of course, we need now to go back to the lab and verify if this is really true.
Pierre Formonty on what may be a significant discovery. Work is now being done in laboratories in South Africa and the United States. We'll have more information on the outcome of this investigation in future podcasts. Thanks for listening to this WHO podcast. For more information about these stories and other global public health issues, visit the WHO website, www.who.int.